Hello and welcome to the Tech Unplugged podcast. I'm Max, your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Aaron Timmerman.
Hello, Max, and hello, Vince.
Yes, hello, Vince. We're joined today by Vince Westin. So, Vince, welcome to the podcast. Do you want to introduce a bit yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Max. I am Vince Westin. I am a technical evangelist with the PowerMax group of Dell EMC, and we're going to have a nice conversation today about PowerMax and all its wonderful new features.
We had the opportunity to meet Vince and hear Vince talk about PowerMax and even about VMAX in the US, I think last autumn at Storage Field Day. We had the occasion to meet again, if my memory serves me well, at Dell EMC World. And at the Dell EMC World, EMC announced PowerMax, which is kind of the, I would say, the successor to the VMAX, even if that might not be technically correct. So do you want to tell us a bit on the PowerMax, just to recapitulate that to our audience, what's about it?
Sure. So PowerMax is the next generation of the VMAX systems. It has the ability to take all the things that we've learned over the last several years and enhance them in some great ways. We, for example, have moved to an all NVMe backend. So we're talking PCIe from the CPU all the way down to the drives and back. So we've eliminated any SCSI protocols, minimized the latency, maximized the throughput. It also gives us a great roadmap to being able to deliver storage class memory on the back end as those drives become enterprise ready and available next year. We've enhanced the data reduction. So in addition to compression, we're now doing deduplication. So you can get even better data efficiency within the array. And of course, still providing that with minimal impact to the response time and throughput of the system. And then we have other wonderful things we've done. We've increased the density on the PowerMax 8000. We've got more front-end ports. So we're driving lots of IOPS at lower latency, and customers have really liked this. We also have a bunch of software updates that have come across the platform that apply not only to what's going on in PowerMax, but also to the VMAX all-flash systems for enhancements for SRDF and snaps being able to do device expansion, for example, while replication's running. And a bunch of other.
Are you seeing customers which are already, let's say VMAX, current VMAX customers, which are already taking the leap and moving from VMAX towards PowerMax? Or are you seeing new use cases around the PowerMax, which, the VMAX by its own architecture, which was not end-to-end and VME wasn't able to, satisfy?
So we're seeing both. We've got some new customers who have been looking for exceedingly low latency storage who are now very interested in PowerMax. And so they're testing it for things like online trading, other analytical systems that require very low latency with very high IOPS. So it's a great fit there. We're also seeing a lot of our historical VMAX customers who are saying, gee, I can now buy high-end array instead of buying a 950 with 3 or 4 petabytes of effective capacity and 4 floor tiles. I can get it down to 2 floor tiles. I can cut my power consumption by 40%+ while increasing my IOPS and decreasing my latency at the same basic price per effective gigabyte. Gee, that's pretty awesome. So we see a mix of both.
There's a difference between you've got the PowerMax 2000 and the PowerMax 8000 series. Can you tell a bit more about the difference between the two and what a customer should look for when they're looking into buying a PowerMax? What would be the rule of thumb to go for a 2000 or an 8000 PowerMax?
Sure, thanks. So the PowerMax 2000 tends to be the smaller systems. It scales from 1 to 2 bricks. It has the core counts are lower, so it's 9 cores per CPU. So it has 36 cores per brick, but the 8000 has double that, right? So there's a lot more horsepower if you need to drive a lot of IOs in the 8000. Of course, you'll pay more for it. So if you're doing a small system, if you only need, if you only need 300,000-400,000 IOPS, if you only need, half a petabyte or so of capacity, and you want a nice dense system that fits in half a rack, right, we can deliver a 2000, one brick fits in 10U, the full two bricks is 20U. And we're finding a lot of customers who've been in the high end of the mid-range systems who are looking for some more advanced replication, right? They want the active-active kind of replication that SRDF can bring them with SRDF Metro. They really want something that'll do, the VVOL support that we have for all of our systems. They really want to move up to being able to do hundreds of snaps per LUN across tens of thousands of LUNs, right? If there's anything you have that needs scale, that needs advanced replication, that needs lots of snaps, if you want, to mix the embedded NAS and iSCSI and block all together in a simple system with reliable replication, and we can do all those kinds of things in a 2000. And so we have a lot of customer who've been, on the high end of Unity or the high end of some of the other mid-range systems, say, yeah, I want some of those more advanced features. I really care about the availability and the advanced replication, so I want to step up to a 2000. And then we have the large customers who want to do millions of IOPS, who want to do petabytes of capacity and really scale up and have some very large systems. We have customers who buy petabytes of capacity a quarter. Right? And when you're buying capacity in that scale, you really don't want that to be in, three or four or 10 boxes. You want that to be all in one and really easy to manage and be able to put lots of apps on it and not have to micromanage a bunch of little pieces. You want a fewer number of very large pieces because you're buying, multiples of them a year anyway. And so you don't want to have to manage dozens and dozens of little boxes. You want a smaller number of larger systems that, of course, are giving you 6.9s and better availability and giving you the great replication and all the other features that VMAX and soon PowerMax will be known for. PowerMax has it all now. It's just not known for it yet in the industry. We've got hundreds of systems out there and moving into production or, a bunch of them already in production. But, just ramping up since we started the original shipments in May. So a number of our customers will be doing the testing and trying out the new operating environment, right? Making sure they've checked all the pieces and make sure everything's compatible. We have a lot of customers who, are in the Fortune 50 and they bet their business on their applications being stable. And, you can call them paranoid, but, the old joke, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you, right? These folks are paranoid for a reason. They've seen things fail and they do a great job of testing and making sure that they plan it so that everything runs great when they drop it in production.
That's a thing which is important, I think, with the PowerMax is that it builds on the many years of experience of the VMAX and Symmetrix platforms. So in terms of data resiliency, have there been any major, let's say, introduction changes, improvements, looking at the PowerMax compared to its predecessors, or is it more or less the same multi-controller architecture that we've been used to?
It's the same scale-out architecture. We have made a few enhancements to try and deal with the most common failures. And as we moved from the hybrid arrays to all flash, we got rid of the biggest problem, which was those pesky failing hard drives. We've had those for 30 years, and we're finally done with that. So now that we've moved from SAS to NVMe, there's some additional resilience because with the serial attached SCSI drives, they're two port drives, but because of queuing issues and other things in the drives, you really only use one port at a time. You can fail over and use the other port as soon as you want to, but you really only can drive IO down one. In the new environment, not only with the NVMe drives, not only can we drive data to both ports, but we can have two directors driving data to both ports at the same time. So we've literally carved the drives in half and say, okay, half goes to this director, half goes to that director. Both will use both ports for real-time I/O. So we can drive a lot more parallelism. We can drive down latency with that. We can drive up throughput. It also helps us in terms of resilience because in the past, if you had a port failure or a link failure, or a cable pull or whatever, and the active path the director was using to the drive went away, you'd start using the other path, but you'd start by resetting all the queues and undoing all the I/O that was flowing, and there's all this cleanup mess you had to do, and then start up the new path, and then you'd get going. And yeah, that's all, you know, sub-second stuff, but it's a lot of stuff. And if you have multiple drives on the same path and you lost the link that carries all the drives, and you're failing it over for all of them at one time, and it was not the simplest code in the world, and it took up some time. And now we're active on all the paths, on all the ports all the time. So if a cable goes down, we just stop using that particular path. And if need be, clean up a couple of the IOs in the background while everything else keeps moving. And then when the path comes back online, we go right back to using it. So the parallelism within the system is greatly enhanced. That also means that when we go to drive rebuilds, we're using both directors to rebuild on multiple ports on the drive we're reading from, as well as, you know, the destinations for the rebuild, so we can copy all the old data off. So, you know, the drive rebuild times as a result are reduced by about 2/3 on the new system. So we can rebuild a 7.7 terabyte drive in under 3 hours now, which used to be a whole lot longer on the hybrid systems. Came down a bunch as we moved to all flash, and has come down significantly further as we've implemented the new PowerMax system. So this is just, it continues to be a great story around performance and availability. And this move to NVMe is just magical for everything we do.
Yeah, that's pretty true. And when we look at NVMe, I mean, and even end-to-end NVMe systems are really fresh, and they already make their, let's say, counterparts, which we were consuming, let's say, less than a year ago, look already outdated and very antiquated in terms of rebuild times and operation times, et cetera, even latency and so on, and not even talking about the parallelism of operations. So we have a pretty good question here from Ariane, which is whether where to place the PowerMax in the Dell, let's say, storage systems line, because VMAX used to be the top, and PowerMax seems to have somewhat displaced VMAX. I mean, VMAX is great, but you know, NVMe is all flashy and all, so, and no pun intended, of course. So do you think it's the new tier zero, or where is it on the scale of products? And also, what is kind of the percentage of systems sold by Dell, if you have any idea of these numbers?
So I know about, you know, PowerMax versus VMAX in terms of compared to the other arrays. I'll let somebody who oversees all the products talk about that. I don't have the other product numbers on the top of my head. But PowerMax, usually in the first quarter of new product, we sell, you know, something like 20% of the product we sell will be the new systems. And then it goes to 50 or so in the second quarter, and 70 or so. And it works its way to 90% or so new systems within about the first year. So we're seeing the same kind of trend. We sold about 20% PowerMax systems of the overall system count in the PowerMax VMAX family in Q2. And our Q2, remember, goes from May, June, and July. And now we've started again, you know, August, September. We'll go through October for Q3. So in our Q2, it was about 20%. In our Q3, we're expecting 40 to 50%. And we're tracking to that. And we expect that to keep shifting. You don't really jump to 90 above 95% very rapidly, just because there are some customers who keep doing, you know, the same things they've done for years. We have customers every now and then who try and come back and buy a system that we no longer sell, right? We've stopped selling, you know, 10Ks, 20Ks, and 40Ks. And we have sales teams that came back. I mean, we had a couple earlier this year. Hey, I got a customer who really wants to buy a new 20K. It's like, dude, we released that thing like 9 years ago. What are you doing?
Yeah, you tell me about it. Yeah, I work in, let's say, in enterprise IT, so I have a pretty fair idea of what it is to support systems which are long end of life. One of the things you said is that not only it is end-to-end NVMe, but also you're planning to support storage class memory. So where are we with that? The last informations I had from Dell EMC World was that Dell was apparently evaluating Intel Optane, so 3D Crosspoint. Is that correct? Or do you have any more news on that? Because it's kind of, you know, a pretty hot topic. We don't know if there are some, let's say, suspicions that 3D Crosspoint is a bit of hot air. Some other people say that it's here and it's real. So what's your take on that?
So Intel started off with their focus in the gaming realm, and there's some other places where people were really looking to drive that low latency. So they weren't focused on enterprise level storage products. They were focused on, you know, edge devices that they could slip this into and replace, you know, storage or basically augment memory, right? So you could have a device that looked like it had, you know, 375 gigabytes or even over a terabyte of what ran at almost DRAM speeds to change the way some of those edge applications ran. And they've now come back to us and said, hey, you know what? We really want to be using these as primary storage in arrays. And we've worked with them on the requirements and got all that set up and gone through the sampling. And you know, we're doing all of our testing and helping them with the, you know, the enterprise grade requirements are a little different. Right? When we write data to your drive and you acknowledge it, you have to have, you know, the memory actually stable with capacitors and things and be able to buffer it. So if you lose power, you don't drop data on the floor. And we have to go test all that with tons of power cycles and run through all the other pieces. So we're doing all that with the folks from Intel, and we're really thrilled with what they've done and the performance that we're seeing out of the Optane, the 3D Crosspoint drives. So we're seeing consistently, one of the challenges we have with SAS drives, right, is with reads only, you can get below 200 microseconds. But as you mix in a little bit of writes, that read response time can jump up to 300 or 400 microseconds. Right? It's a really big jump, and it happens pretty rapidly, even with only 50 or 100 megabytes a second of background writes. By moving to NVMe, we've got more power per slot in the DAEs, and we've got the NVMe, again, multi-port, multi-queuing architecture, so we're able to drop the 50 microseconds or so of SCSI overhead, so we're down closer to 100 microseconds, and even at, you know, 200 megabytes a second, we're still staying below 200 microsecond random read time, right? So we've basically taken 100 plus microseconds off of background reads just by moving to NVMe. So as we move to storage class memory, we now drop that even further, and we stay consistently below 50 microseconds, even if you're writing a gigabyte and a half a second to the drive, right? I mean, these drives just eat writes for breakfast. They are wonderful at consuming huge volumes of writes. And since we always have writes going on in the system in the background, you know, it's really important to us that the drives be able to sustain the low latency while they're taking all those background writes, right? As writes come into the front end of our box, we put them in cache. If we have reads to do, we quickly do them. And when we get a break between reads, what do? We stick the writes in the drives. So there's always this background write activity going on, getting the writes flushed out of cache down to the drives. So it's really nice to have a drive like this that stays consistent below 50 microseconds, which lets us, again, take another, you know, 50 to 100 microseconds off of the back-end read times. Now, again, that's not every I.O. We, of course, have a giant cache in the system, so writes were going to cache anyway, and over half the reads we see go to cache. But for all those read misses that used to be up around 400 microseconds, you know, they dropped to around 200 in the PowerMax, and now they're dropping to around 50 with the storage class memories that comes out next year. So we have a chance to really drive down latency, drive up throughput, drive up IOPS for the customers who really value that. Now, the other thing, of course, is even if a customer values that, most of the applications don't do that much I/O for most of their capacity, right? There's still a lot of SKU out there. So, you know, 80, 90% of the work happens on the top, you know, the busiest 10, 15, 20% of the data. And so what we're planning with our customers is take your average application that you want better response time on, drop, you know, 5 to 10% SCM in the array. We'll take your hottest data and put it right on that SCM, and we'll give you that amazing low latency for your most active stuff, which means you buy 5 or 10% capacity and you get the response time benefit on 80% of your random reads, right? So we can help you get the value out of that because these aren't going to be cheap. And so this is a way to make sure that you get the most benefit out of what you're buying. We think that's going to be a great combination for our customers. And it's part of the whole machine learning program we've got going on with PowerMax.
Yeah, and I think SCM, the advent of SCM raises a lot of, let's say, interesting questions. So moving into NVMe has been a really transformative revolution for storage. But getting into SCM, I mean, it's exciting, it's interesting, and it's great to see that it's really, we're seeing some adoption. But right now, I mean, the main form factor, let's say, of the PowerMax is NVMe. And SCM, let's say, it's an addition. You say that you can add a certain amount of capacity. One thing I wrote on my blog around PowerMax when I was talking with your colleague at the LMC World was that it is SCM ready. But it is not going to be 100% SCM compatible, or how is it going to work? Because SCM should be closer to the CPU compared to the NVMe, right?
Well, both the NVMe NAND drives we have now and the SCM drives have PCIe connections, right? So it's a PCIe circuit that's running, multi-lane circuit that's running from the CPU through some PCIe switches directly to the DAE, which has its own PCIe switch in it, which talks to the drives. We use the NVMe protocol over that, and it really doesn't matter whether we're talking to a NAND drive or the SCM drive. It's the same NVMe protocol. The difference is that the backend latency for both reads and writes on the storage class memory is just phenomenally faster. So all of this from a CPU point of view is memory access. So the CPU is using a PCIe memory access like it's a card right on the bus, read memory from this drive, right? And treating it like it's just a PCIe card sitting in the bus. That's true for the NAND drives we're using today. It's true for the SCM drives that we'll be delivering when they come next year.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you for that precision. But if the message I'm hearing is that the SCM drives and the NVMe drives that you're having in your PowerMax are using for now the same form factor. Is that correct?
Right. They're both using the same 2.5-inch. You know, you can't really tell it's not a spinning drive kind of form factor. Mm-hmm. Mostly because the drive enclosures and all that we've got set up were set up for that form factor. And, you know, we went to all flash 2.5 years ago. We're continuing to move forward. Now we're NVMe attached to all solid state media, first with NAND and then, of course, doing the storage class memory. You know, as we go forward, we're looking at the form factors that we want to use. There's some new, enterprise data center, small form factor, the EDSFF, that's more of a card type of, you know, elongated, shorter, yeah, or long or tall card. So it's a 1U or 2U card that's about a half slot depth kind of thing. Yeah. But again, those are still, you know, PCI connections on the back end. So it's a 4/8 or 16 lane PCI connection that's connecting on the end of that. So it's really about the ergonomics of how do you plug them together and cool them and deal with all that and, you know, manage pieces rather than anything in particular about how do you want to push parts together or what the performance would be.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So I'll also note that the one of the things we're working on as we look toward the future, as we look at the next generation of real hardware we want to build, or even some of the drives we want to put in, you know, the next near-term stuff with PowerMax, is we've got SCM coming. There's also things with quad-layer drives and the chance to drive down price per gigabyte and potentially build much larger drives. So working with, you know, 30, 60, or even 100 terabyte 2.5-inch drives that have a bunch of cheap, you know, 3D quad cell NAND in them that drive down the cost per gigabyte and give us great density per, you know, cubic inch. So as some of that comes out, we'll look at, you know, where we can do that and what packaging that's offered in. You know, when you start talking about doing rebuilds on devices that may hold 60 or 100 terabytes each, you kind of gulp and say, I'm looking for something with a little more.
Yeah. And I think, and thank you for your long explanation, because you replied to some of the questions I had in anticipation. So that's pretty cool. I was just thinking about the new form factors, which are going to show up. They're probably to provide us with a very, let's say, incredible density in terms of what we can store and what speed efficiencies and maybe even power efficiencies we're going to see with a CM. So one thing that that you pointed as well was, you know, the eventual mixing of different kind of memory types just to make sure we get a good balance between performance and capacity and price. And that reminds me the question I had, which I had forgotten before. It's around price-wise, how is the, let's say, price-wise and let's say capacity-wise, is there a huge difference for customers who want to go straight to PowerMax compared to all-flash VMAX?
So again, the PowerMax pricing and the VMAX all-flash pricing is very similar per effective terabyte. So if you want to buy a half petabyte effective on PowerMax on the 2000 compared to a half petabyte effective on a 250, your price ranges should be similar on both those products. So we're trying to make it easy for customers to move into the new product and get it, take advantage of all the new features without having to change what they're paying per terabyte so that they can move forward with confidence and move into this new realm and take advantage of everything that's available there.
Okay, thank you. Probably one last question from my end. What about Cloud IQ integration? Is that fully featured at this point, or is this still in the making?
Cloud IQ for PowerMax will ship in the next couple weeks. It's actually coming out the end of September. So we've had it in directed availability, basically a testing release with a number of customers over the last several months. We started that late May. And things have gone great. So we'll be expanding Cloud IQ to have full PowerMax support very shortly.
One of the things which were said at Dell EMC World was that the PowerMax is using some built-in machine learning. And machine learning is really, really hot these days. So do you want to tell us a bit more about that? In trying to see what it's doing for real versus the hype of everyone saying that machine learning is the next killer.
Yeah, so machine learning is definitely hot. And of course, if anything's hot, people are going to want to talk about it and say that their product has it. One of the things we've tried to do is make sure that we can talk in very concrete ways about what we're doing with machine learning and what we are and aren't doing in other areas. So we're not claiming there's a bunch of AI in the box. We're trying to do some augmented intelligence in Cloud IQ and learning things across large populations of data and large populations of arrays. And all that's happening, you know, off-premise in our software as a service for Cloud IQ. On-premise on the array, we're focused on the machine learning of detecting workload patterns that we see, building models for the workload profiles, and then we take those, what we call feature depictions, which describe the workloads that we've seen, and we feed those into our prediction engine that says, gee, how likely do we think we are to see this given feature, you know, at these address ranges, you know, in the next 4 hours, in the next 12 hours, in the next 24 hours, and so forth. We feed that stuff into our ranking system, right, that decides where the priorities are and says, yeah, this guy's kind of hot, but it's a bronze service level, so I don't care, right? I'm going to compress it and put it on slow, and I don't care what it does. As opposed to the things that are diamond that are absolute best performance. I want to give them all the speed they can. And if I have storage class memory, yes, I want to use, you know, as much of it as I can for these high-end applications. Right. So that's where the automated tiering, if you will come, because we'll automatically place, you know, some of the data on compressed space on NAND, some of it uncompressed on NAND, because there's extra space in the box, so we'd have to compress everything. And then some of that uncompressed on the storage class memory. And we've had a few folks ask, well, you know, gee, storage class memory is so expensive. Why wouldn't you compress the data on it? And the answer is the storage class memory has a response time below 50 microseconds. And the time it takes to uncompress a good compressed track is about 50 microseconds. So, you know, if you compress the data on the storage class memory, you basically double the latency and kind of negate the whole point of buying the drives. Right. So, you know, we're very focused on helping customers to get the most out of what they're buying and the money they're spending. And we think this is going to be a great way to, you know, accelerate the value for storage class memory. And again, be able to tier between compressed and uncompressed on the NAND capacity to be able to get the best response times out of that. Again, avoiding that latency if we don't need it on the hottest data until the array fills up, right? I mean, so we're kind of cheating and not compressing the hottest 20% of your data unless the array gets full. If you write to 95% of your data, we're going to pretty much compress everything, right? To get every byte of space we can. But since most customers run their arrays, you know, 70, 80, 85% full, we're going to use the rest of the space to leave some things uncompressed so you get better response time out of it and you get the most value out of your array.
Yeah, and it's great to see that most customers are reasonable and they don't get around 95% plus. So that's a good thing. And a really interesting insight as well around the compression times and latency. It's pretty instructive as well. So Vince, that was my my last question. I want to thank you very much for joining us at the Tech Unplugged podcast. And I hope to catch up with you very soon in the Silicon Valley once I'll be there. I also want to thank you on behalf of Arian, which has audio issues which are not caused by himself, but by the platform we are using.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate both of you spending your time with me, and I look forward to talking with you all again before too long in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.